Uzbekistan in Central Asia is emerging as a major American ally in the U.S.-led bombing campaign in Afghanistan. Uzbekistan is letting the United States use a strategic airbase less than 100 miles from the Afghan border. But some critics worry that in return, the United States will ignore Uzbekistan's human rights abuses. NPR's Lawrence Sheets reports.
It's a warm autumn day on the outskirts of the capital, Tashkent. Amid a vast field of white, Uzbek schoolchildren as young as 7 work stripping cotton plants. As in Soviet times, Uzbekistan's vital crop is still a state monopoly. This time of year, many people have to leave their usual jobs to join the harvest. School principal Saidhana Hiyandarbiev has brought his pupils to work a nearby field.
School classes stop at this time of year. The children work from 8 in the morning until 5 at night, with an hour-long lunch break. We've been working out here for a month already.
The children are paid the same state-set price as everyone else for the cotton. A good picker can make up to $5 a day at the official exchange rate. The state-controlled cotton industry is one of many aspects of life in Uzbekistan virtually unchanged since Soviet times. Islam Karimov was running Uzbekistan as its communist boss when Soviet rule ended. And today, President Karimov still maintains a tight grip over his 25 million subjects. Billboards displaying Karimov quotes adorn streets. Student Anita Trimailova says the country's school curriculum pays homage to the president.
Approximately 5 years ago, it was a course introduced in all humanitarian and technical universities of higher education. And the main essence of this course is that you need to know President Karimov's latest writing and thoughts in order to be able to obtain your degree at the end.
Karimov's control is also evident during a visit to Tashkent's historic Central Bazaar. When asked about the president, chatting spice merchants clam up. One of them, Rustam, cuts the conversation short. Politics, no. Politics are decided at the top, without us, says Rustam. Others here, like one trader who refused to give his name, give seemingly pre-programmed answers. We are happy with the president, he says. We have plenty of everything. We don't have any complaints at all. Our president is golden. Detractors say such slavish praise is the result of indoctrination and fear. But others point out that under Karimov's rule, Uzbekistan has largely avoided the upheavals which have devastated other former Soviet republics. There is a sense of order in Uzbekistan. Tashkent streets and public transport are nearly spotless. Sparkling new government buildings are going up. Street crime is relatively low. Fruit seller Gulcheda Shagaipova says basic security is more important right now than political freedom.
Everyone loves President Karimov because we have peace. People should support him more and we'll have paradise here. For a mother, the most important thing is to be able to sleep peacefully.
But this outward tranquility has come at a price. Matilda Bokner of Human Rights Watch says that when Uzbekistan gained independence, President Karimov moved quickly to tighten his grip on power.
Political opposition leaders were arrested, so many spent time in prison when they were released, or others went into exile. And those who have remained here have had such pressure put on them that they're not really able to work in any active way.
Karimov's roughest treatment is reserved for a radical group called the Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan, or IMU. President Karimov accuses the IMU of deadly bomb blasts in Tashkent 2 years ago. He says the IMU aims to topple his secular government and replace it with an Islamic regime. Karimov says the movement is financed by the Taliban. This is one reason the U.S. has now found common cause with Uzbekistan. Human rights activists like Bogner caution against getting too involved with Karimov's authoritarian regime. But the U.S. is unlikely to endanger its new friendship with Uzbekistan by dwelling on human rights abuses at such a critical time. Lawrence Sheets, NPR News, Tashkent.